Welcome to Trapping Radio. This is your host, Clint Locklear. And we've got some, we're going to talk about some stuff coming up for spring trapping. But we've got a couple of things I want to cover first. One of them is crazy interesting. And for us trappers, it actually gives the fur market a ton of hope. When something goes wrong, there's always opportunity. And it may be the opportunity that we've been looking for as trappers. Before I get in the show, though, I want to thank our sponsors. We have really good sponsors. They're really good people. They have excellent companies. They have excellent service. They get your stuff out to you as fast as they can. It's a strange year for people in the trapping industry. I just had to order bottles in colors that I've never thought I'd be putting stuff into. I've got Coon Crack that's going to be put in white bottles, which I don't like because they get dirty easy. Well, there's nothing I can do about it. It's got a strange top on it. That's the only thing I could find. There are guys that have metal products that can't get metal. There's guys that got cable products that they can't get cable stuff. This, if you're not in a business where you're having to get supplies on a regular basis, you may not understand the complete chaos that's going on in the business world. It's not just ours. It's everywhere. Talk to a contractor about getting, like, our generator. We lost power a couple of months ago. Well, I guess it's been about 8 months ago. Generator came on just like it's supposed to. Did not power the house. So I went and checked the little box where it comes in the house. All that was on. So we called the company to come out. I couldn't figure anything out. And it took 3 weeks to get a board, which was not the problem. And now we're waiting on some type of pigtail to plug into the board because they think there could be corrosion in it. And that's the last thing that Generac said it could be. And we have no idea when we're going to get a pigtail. Part of the problem is a lot of resources are going to weird things like the generators, ice storms, and hurricanes and everything. But just getting aluminum in, getting metal in, getting everything in, it's absolutely hair-pulling. So, like for me, when I find bottles, regardless if they're right for what I'm used to doing, I buy all I can, because I may not be able to get any more. That's why you've seen stuff with green lids and white lids and weird shapes and all that stuff for me. And I have a feeling, I don't really, get into what everybody else is doing. That's not my thing. I just stay on my own road. But I have a feeling that's going to be happening a lot more coming up as far as packaging and different things like that. So the other part that you should be aware of is so many people are ordering from Amazon, UPS, FedEx, and the Postal Service is an absolute train wreck right now. So everything's taking longer to get there. Plus you have these storms all over the country. It is just, it's hectic. So when I say we have some of the best sponsors, they have the best sponsors that they can do. So like if you order a bottle of lure, and it takes 9 days to get there, you can look at the tracking. Everybody that I deal with pretty much has everything in the mail the same day that you order it, if you order it in the morning. Or if you order it the night before, it'll be the next day. Sometimes they have it in the mail within 2 hours of you ordering it. Then it's out of their hands. It's just the reality that we live in right now. And I know we're so used to, in the last couple of years, you order something and it's like on your doorstep in 48 hours. It's just a weird thing that we have to deal with right now as trappers. And I don't see any way around it. We started using FedEx a lot. It's costing more money to ship it. We're paying for it just to try to get stuff to people quicker. And it's helpful. But the Postal Service is all screwed up. So the reason I'm saying that is when you hear me say that they ship it out quick, they do. But you lose contact with that product once you put it on a truck. And there's really nothing that can be done about that because we don't control the Postal Service, the UPS or the FedEx or DHS or DSH or whatever, DSL, whatever the yellow one is, we don't have any control over it. So, you know, just be mindful of that going forward. So if you're going to need something from one of the sponsors, I would order it as quick as you could for two reasons. One, if you don't need it for a couple of weeks, it may take a couple of weeks to go through the system. Two, it may not be there in a couple of weeks, and that's just a fact. Believe it or not, there's been more trapping supplies sold this year, starting all the way back in June, than probably any time since the fur boom before the crash of 87. It has been insane. There's a lot of new trappers coming on board. I think they're seeing a lot of the TV shows. There's a lot of guys that are retiring that used to trap. They're getting back into it. I think a lot of survivalists are paying more attention to it because they're scared to death of what we got going on in the government. There's a host of reasons. But it hit the trapping industry with such demand, the supply is struggling. But if you want to be guaranteed that you're going to have the best chance to get it as quick as you can, use the guys that I'm getting ready to say, because they're good and they do it the right way. First one is F&T Fur Harvesters, everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. They've got everything. They've got a catalog that's like reading a magazine, as far as there's so much stuff in there. All my stuff is in there. I don't have a paper catalog. So if you're looking for a paper catalog or predator control group, everything I have is in their catalog. Second sponsor is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. He's got another full line of trapping supplies. I believe they're called EOTech calls. He sells a pile of them. And he was explaining to me some of the reasons the other day, like 300 yards, not line of sight for the remotes. They're cheaper than some of the stuff that I used to use, and they actually sound better. They come with 200 sounds. You can put 500 sounds on there. So if you're thinking about predator calling, definitely give Funky Trap Tag Supply a call, because they've got you covered. Plus, they got stuff for fish and bear and hogs and deer. And if you're an outdoorsman, they probably got it. And then we have Oki Cable and Trap out of Oklahoma. Jeb's got a full line of trapping supplies. He gets stuff out quick. He's a great deal to talk with. If you have questions about what you need, give a Jeb a call. You can look it up on his website. Give him a call. We've got a link down below. He can help you get whatever you need, and he will do whatever he can to make sure that you're satisfied. And then we have a friend of mine, Jeff Dunlap from Dunlap Lures. He makes great lures. They're strong. They're effective. They're tested all the time. He has tons of reorders. Just a really good product from a really good trapper. And most of y'all know who he is. And if you're into Facebook, you know he's got Trapping Talk. It's the biggest Facebook group there is. There's a reason for that. He's also on the F&T show. He does a lot of stuff for YouTube. He's on Instagram. But the only thing I don't think he's really got into is TikTok. But really good products. So Dunlap Lures, give them a shot. So I want to start with something that I'm not sure in our political system is going to make a lot of difference, but anything helps. This is an alert from the NTA. If you're a member of the NTA, you can contact them and get put on their email list. And so when stuff comes up that you can help, like by calling a senator or voting a certain way to help trappers understand the language sometimes of the bills, because they're really tricky, you can get on their alerts. And so I just got one in, and this is what this one says. It appears that Deb Haaland, and that's H-A-A-L-A-N-D, is on the road to becoming the next Secretary Department of Interior. Let's make one last strong effort. Contact your U.S. Senator or anyone that you may know to influence and have them ask President Biden to withdraw her nomination. Her past stance on trapping is very troublesome, to say the least. And here's a link. So you can contact the NTA. They can get you that link. And if you know, you can call your senator and let them know that you don't want them to do it. I hope there's a way for her not to be, because I have a feeling, because there's really no information and all they do is lie to you anyway, is pretty much she's going to try to stop trapping on any federal ground. All federal ground. Because that's what she did from the state she's from, if I understand her record correctly. So, if this interests you, which it should as a trapper, you know, try to do something with it. But the NTA is definitely trying to do this. They can get you the links you need to get, and you can call or email. Now, the next one, I find this very interesting. I'm going to tell you why. I've got a very good friend who is an absolute monster on the trap line. Monster. Headed to Louisiana. And he's been going down to Louisiana for several years now. And he's always 70, 80, 100, 115 otter every year. And he does it in just a couple of weeks. I mean, he probably runs 200, 230, 40 miles a day. He's fast. He's very understanding of how otter moves through that territory. And he went to a new part of Louisiana, further south. And he set traps everywhere. But he started getting concerned after about the first or second day he was setting, because you could see where trails were and still are, but there's really no fresh signs. So you don't see the throw up from the otter and stuff like that. And he didn't really see tracks in the trails, and it was very concerning. Well, he let those run for a few days, and basically it was nada. Nada. Nothing. So what did he do? He packed all that crap up and went back up to northern Louisiana and went to his old trapping ground, which he was going to give a break this year. But, you know, I think he did over 100 last year. He'd probably still do 70, 75 this year. Nada. They're just not there. The otter are not there. So knowing Randy, which that's who it is, he probably ran 500 miles, total of two areas. No otter. In Louisiana. How is that possible? Then I talked to another friend from New York. He's probably going to be stopping by here on his way back home. And he was probably 200 miles north of where Randy was, and he slayed otter in Mississippi. Slayed them. And that's with all the crazy ice storms and all that stuff that really messes you up when you're trying to water trap, because southern critters don't like ice. They don't know, they just don't play with it because they don't know what it is and it's weird and they just kind of hole up. So 200 miles away, there's no otter. 200 miles from there, there's all kind of otter. It seems strange. Well, I was talking to Randy, and I thought he was making a joke. And he said, I think COVID got him. And I can tell you, when he first said that, my eyes rolled back in my head, and I started stabbing myself in the throat. Otter, COVID, that makes no sense. And then he mentioned the coronavirus is in mink. Mink. An otter and a mink, or a weasel, they are genetically different, but they're not that far off from each other. So when, and he said he was serious, said they killed a bunch of them over in Europe because they found that a lot of the mink had the coronavirus, the one that we're supposed to be scared to death about. So I started doing some research, and I want to read you something because this is where the hope comes in for us. Every disaster has opportunities. Even with the craziness and the lunacy of our government right now, there will be opportunities. There will be. There's always opportunities. Some of them pan out, some of them don't. This could actually pan out. If there was a stock market stock for wild fur, I would be buying it right now. And I'm going to tell you why. And this is not to blow smoke up your butt because I want you to buy more lure. I think you're going to understand why here in a minute. So I looked up several articles. And I picked one of the most liberal ones, the BBC, to read because there's one line in here that should get your ears just rolling, tingling, little bat senses going off. So this is from the BBC. Coronavirus, Denmark shaken by cull of millions of mink. And this was written on 11th November 2020. You can go look it up. It's got a white mink in a cage. The shock last week when Denmark decided to cull all its mink up to 17 million animals because of the spread of the coronavirus. The national cull has turned into a political outcry. Now the prime minister has admitted the plan was rushed and had no legal basis. Well, I don't know what that's ever got to do with the government anyway, but they did it. They're dead. All these rank mink ranchers are probably bankrupt. They're probably going to start losing houses and everything else. But the government's going to say, I'm sorry. Danish authorities worry that the mutated form of coronavirus found in mink could potentially hamper the effectiveness of future vaccine. So, just from me looking at that, they're thinking that can cross-transfer between humans and mink. As the politicians argue, mass graves were appeared on the Danish countryside filled with slaughtered animals. A hard blow. Police and the armed forces have been deployed. Listen to that. Police and the armed forces have been deployed, and farmers have been told to cull their healthy animals too. But the task will take weeks. We have 65,000 mink. In the coming week, we will be putting down, says Martin. He pointed to rows of long huts houses thousands of mink on his farm in rural Funen, F-U-N-E-N. The Danish flag flies at half mast in his garden. Warning, you may not like some of the images that are upcoming. They're unsettling. They are. Overnight, he has seen his livelihood wiped out. It seems very upset, he added. Mr. Fromm is a third-generation fur farmer, and after 60 years of his family business, the cull has devastated him. He's not alone. Farmers have appeared on Danish TV in tears. Denmark's mink cull has, in fact, been going on for several weeks, with 2.85 million already put down. By Tuesday, coronavirus has been reported in 237 farms in Jutland, with further cases expected on another 33. Just a second. The Danish Veterinary and Food Administration says the cull is complete on 116 farms and the work continues. Why the cull was ordered. Denmark is not the first country to report outbreaks on fur farms, but it's the world's biggest producer. Spain, Sweden, Italy, and U.S. have been affected, as has the Netherlands, where mink farming will be outlawed by spring next year. Now, I want you to pay attention to that last little sentence, guys, where mink farming will be outlawed by the spring of next year. Keep that in the back of your head. Here in Denmark, more than 1 in 5 farms have reported infections. They show pictures of these mass graves, and it's sad. I mean, just to see that many animals, and they're not skinning them, they're just killing them. Scientists from something something institute in Copenhagen first raised the alert after detecting mutations and strains of coronavirus found in mink. Then came the order of the mass cull last Wednesday, this is back in November, and a four-week lockdown for people living in the northwest part of the country. So they locked down the people in Norway, in Denmark. Now, you probably have seen, well, not if you're watching regular news, but this country went absolutely crazy when they did the lockdown, because this country remembers the last time they were locked down, and that's when Germany locked them down. So they got violent in the street. Mutation happens all the time, but once in a while these mutations happen in the spike protein, says Professor Anders Formsgaard, head of the virus research. The spike pattern of the coronavirus and the target for some of these vaccines is developed, so we are a little nervous once we see mutations that change amino acids and the shape of the protein, he tells BBC. Now, this cluster 5. COVID-19 originally came from wild animals. It was then transmitted to humans, later passed on to farm mink before jumping back into small numbers of humans. Now, I don't know where they're talking about, but I'm pretty sure it probably started with animals with a lab in China. Several different mutations have been discovered in the virus in mink that do not arise in humans, but one could cluster 5 in a particular concern, and 12 people have known to have caught it in Denmark. More than 200 other people have contracted other mink-related strains and viruses. Now, I don't know if this is the new virus they're talking about in Europe or not. Professor Formsgaard stresses that the worry over the vaccine is hypothetical so far. The worry over vaccine is hypothetical so far, but tests have found that parent antibodies respond less well to cluster 5, and further laboratory investigations are being carried out. We are working hard to find if this has any biological effects and vaccine issues. Therefore, we have to look at the immediate before this potential problem grows. The infection has attracted worldwide international attention and prompted the UK to ban travelers from Denmark. However, there's also concern that Denmark may be overreacting, and scientists at home and abroad have tried to assess the risk. While scientists told Denmark such and such, which I can't pronounce, newspaper, the cluster 5 had not been detected since September, the head of Denmark's health authority, Bronstrom, said the risk was too great when the virus was spreading among the mink population. Mistakes have been made. The government admitted on Thursday it lacked the legal framework for the nationwide order, which they don't like the legal framework when they lock us down here, and only had justification to cull infected mink or herds within a safety radius. It's a mistake, and regrettable mistake, said Prime Minister, I swear it says Meet Frankenstein, but that can't be right, as she apologized to Parliament. Even if we're in a rush, it should have been completely clear to us that new legislation was required, and if not, I apologize for that. The government has tried to remedy this by rushing through emergency legislation, but opposition parties say that they are unlikely to support the new bill, and getting it through Parliament could take time. Liberal Party Chairman Elman Jensen called it shocking and criticized the lack of transparency. Compensation for farmers should have been in place first. Even parties aligned to the government have called for an investigation. Farmers were recently sent papers telling them to cull their herds by 16th of November, but some have refused to cooperate. Good for them. Denmark admits Coal has no legal basis. But Martin Form says a I'm getting all tongue twisted here with these weird Denmark words. The spreading between farms, he cannot afford to wait. We are just carrying on. It makes no difference. So they don't care that it's illegal. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Is this the end of the meat business in Denmark? Denmark is home to more than 1,000 farms. So the head of trade body in Copenhagen Fur has termed it a nationwide coal a disaster. It is a de facto permanent closure and liquidation of the fur industry, as its chairman, Peterson, who predicted 6,000 jobs have been affected. I want to repeat, remember what I said earlier, or that other line. This has terminated nationwide. They're talking about the fur. So what this is doing, guys, it's basically knocking out the biggest country that produces the most wild mink. And they're killing all of the breeding stock. It's going to take years if they even let them ever do this. And earlier I read to you that they were planning on banning this. The industry has reported turnover of almost 1 billion, I don't know if that's American dollars or what it is, in 2008. So that's a billion-dollar industry just in that one country. Furs are sold to garment industry, but also used in some false eyelashes. China and Hong Kong in particular provide the biggest market. Coronavirus outbreaks have already spiked the end of the have already spelled the end of the mink industry in the Netherlands. The UK and Australia banned fur production years ago. Germany has phased it out, and Belgium, France, and Norway plan to as well. Let me say that one more time. UK, Austria, not Australia, banned it years ago. Germany has phased it out. Belgium, France, and Norway plan to as well. Across Europe, there are some 4,350 mink farms, with Poland, Finland, Lithuania, Greece also part of the sector. Industry group Fur Europe insists demands for natural fur is still strong. So, again, I want to repeat that one thing, and I want you to be this to be sticking in your head as a trapper. Industry group Fur Europe insists demand for natural fur is still strong. The market has already reacted to next year's reduced supply with higher pelt prices. And then it talks about some of the antis not liking the mink thing. Now, that took a long time, but I wanted to read that from front to beginning so I wouldn't be making something up where I act like I understand all this. But it's an opportunity. The biggest mink producer is going to be off the playing field. Those other countries are getting banned also. So that's only leaving, what was it? Poland, Finland, Lithuania, and Greece as part of the sector. Now, if this is found in any of their mink, you can be, you bet your bottom dollar they're going to kill those mink too. Now, is the mink coronavirus, did it kill the otter in Louisiana where Randy was at? I have no idea. One thing, and if you're in Pennsylvania, up above Pittsburgh, you may have an idea on this. Randy also said that the squirrels population has diminished greatly since all this has started. I don't think people are starving and eating the squirrels yet. Here in my house, I've got like 6 months supply of squirrel and dumplings if I need them. So that's not an issue here. It's not an issue where my friend from New York was up in Mississippi. Is this thing killing these animals? I have no idea. The government does what they always do and overreact. They usually do it illegally, just like they're doing in Denmark. They don't care. But what does that mean for me and you as a fur trapper? This is why I said, if the wild fur industry had a stock, I would be buying it right now and gambling that our prices are going to go up. Now, I've talked to several fur buyers over my lifetime. And if you ever talk to them, or some of the guys at NAFA when they were there, some of the good ones, when ranch mink gets too expensive, that's when the world goes to wild fur. When ranch mink are cheaper, our fur prices in the wild fur industry go down. So what happens when there is hardly any wild mink to affect very much at all with the as Europe's even saying, demand for fur is still up? What does that mean to me and you? I think that means our fur prices are going to go up. How much? I don't know. The few mink that are left are going to be so expensive. Who's going to buy them? There's a limit on what you can pay for ranch mink, or no one can make any money from that point on. But we're positioned here in America with wild mink, raccoons, coyotes, fox, muskrats, nutria, weasels, beaver. I'm sure I'm missing something in there, but I think you get the picture. So if this demand is out there and the wild mink industry is gone, would you bet that our prices are going to go up? I would. I would put some serious money on that bet. We may be getting ready for something that we haven't seen in a while. Not because the world has changed, but because the supply of the most standardized fur that there is, wild mink, it looks like it's going to be gone. So if anybody wants fur, which a lot of people do, a lot of trim, a lot of stuff like that, we're it. Us in Canada. We are it. You're going to have some out of Russia. They're not massive producers. It's really going to be us in Canada, which could be very interesting for in a couple of ways that I see this. One, it's going to bring, like, one of the problems we have right now in the fur industry is, okay, NAFA went bankrupt. People that need the fur to make garments and everything else with, they're going to figure out a way to get it. Another thing that's in our favor in the fur industry is Biden is pretty much a lap boy for China. I don't know if he knows what day it is, but they paid him so much money that he's going to do whatever they want him to do. Pretty sure of that. So you're probably not going to have all the issues. As good as Trump was, he probably wasn't the best for our industry. And I would still rather have Trump. But that may open the doors to let some of this stuff flow a little bit easier trade-wise with our fur going over there. And if we're it, there's going to be more money pumped in to figure out ways to get that fur, even without a NAFTA. So it's probably going to mean, if I'm just guessing, a lot of the guys that are still in the fur industry and a lot of guys that got out of the fur industry are now going to have people that's going to be placing orders and wanting fur. So it probably won't be so much of the huge auction houses anymore. It'll be more like it was back in the early 80s and 70s, where people are actually given money to buy fur on commission. Grinwald's is still buying a lot of fur. Right now, I guess the two biggest people that we have to sell to is Grinwald's and Fur Harvesters. And if you're in the West and you're dealing with high-dollar cats and coyotes, you've got some options out there that we don't have here because they don't want our fur over here. It's totally different. If this doesn't give you hope as a trapper, I don't know what will. Will it be next year? I don't know. I don't think the demand is going to change. The supply is going to change. The supply. When there's less supply, what is there brings more money. People start fighting over it. So there's still going to be a limit. I mean, you can't sell raccoons for $1,000 a piece. But I think we could see $25 raccoons again. I think the cats are going to go up. I think the otters are going to go up. I think the wild mink is going to go up. If I could bet on this in the stock market, I would do it today. Because what has always kept our prices down is no longer in play. Think about that. It's no longer in play. I'll give you an example that pretty much every outdoorsman's going through right now. What are bullets costing? They don't really cost that much more to make. The supply is stripping, or demand is stripping supply so fast that it's making that go up in price. And when you go to the gun store to buy a box of, I don't know, 9mm, you're spending on 9mm what you used to spend on 500 Smith & Wesson pistol rounds. A friend just sent me a thing online. 223 rounds are now $4 a piece at a really big website. $4 a piece. I can remember when I bought all mine, I think I spent $299 per thousand. I'm not going to pull up my calculator, but I'm assuming that's what, 29 cents a round? Could be wrong, but it sure as hell wasn't $4 around now, was it? 22s are going for what 44 Magnums used to go for a box. It is crazy. What has changed? Demand is higher than the supply. Or oil prices are going up because our knucklehead of a president decided to shut down the pipeline, which causes everything to cost more money, which is causing the barrel price to go up. Why? Our supply changed. Demand hasn't. It's pretty simple when you think about it. But it should, and I hope that, and this is what I really want you to grasp. You as a trapper are not exactly going to know when this happens. If it happens, and I think it will. To what extent, I don't know. But over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of guys got rid of a lot of equipment. They've let their land permissions go away because it's, quote, not worth it. They don't have the backup supplies they're used to. you're going to hear all kind of stuff starting next season, I'm sure, because we hear it every year. So-and-so's given so much for, say, raccoons, $20 a piece for triple or 4Xs and, you know, certain quality. Everybody gets excited. They show up. They sell them. They want to give you $10. That spreads across the internet like wildfire. Bad news always spreads faster than good news. People love bad news. That's how you've got CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and all the panic porn that everybody watches every day. It's because of that right there. Bad news travels fast. Good news does not travel that fast. And I'm trying to think of the date, the years. We had a couple of years. You remember back, it probably wasn't 10 years ago, muskrats got up to 13, raccoons were 20 and 25. I don't think the fox moved a whole lot, but they were probably in the 30 range. Otter got back up to $70 and $80. Beaver moved up. Castor went down because there was more supply than there were, or higher supply than there was, and a shortage of demand. And it took most trappers, lost a whole season of that really good money because they weren't prepared when it happened. So this is what happens. This is what I saw happening. The guys that went out and trapped, because that's what they do, they trapped no matter what. They were expecting probably $10, $12 for raccoons. Well, they sold some locally. Rumors started spreading about better prices. All the naysayers and all the bad news speakers and everybody that wants to be negative was shooting it down left and right. And it didn't really show up until the February sale in Canada. That's February. Most places are done in February, except for beaver and muskrats. A whole year was lost because people didn't do what trappers normally do and go trap. So then the next year, everybody's back in. And then what happened there? There was way more supply. Still good demand. Prices kind of held on most things, but they kind of went down except for a few, like muskrats, because we don't have muskrats all over the country the way we used to. And the muskrat prices held on for probably 3-4 years. Other stuff started fading because everybody was out doing it. But the real money was that year when most people were setting it out for the most part or just going to set a few traps because they listened to the naysayers and they didn't think that there was hope. And there was nothing at this time that was anything like what I'm telling you right now. Go look it up. Look up. You can find 50 articles from all over the world on the coronavirus and the culling of mink. Nothing like this. And those prices jumped up. Some of them, like muskrats, from $250 to $13 in a year and a half. That's a huge percentage. Muskrats jumped up 100 to 150% overnight. But by the time the real price of the fur is found out by us trappers, for a lot of us, it's too late. Let's say you're in Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, the humble raccoon. By the time December and January rolls around and you realize there's a huge spike in price, you can wait around for a couple of the Indian summers, take some big boars. But your coon season's probably over. Very few people are out in January and February and still have coons that aren't rubbed yet, where really good coons come from, and can go out and knock out 300, 400, 500, 1,000. So you miss the whole year. Trapping is such an interesting thing to look at historically. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. And it's been doing this since, in our country, since the 1600s. Well, before our country was a country. Mass fortunes were made but not everybody made them. With social media the way it is today, you would think good news like that would travel like crazy, but it doesn't. Now, with this information that I just gave you, pretty much 2/3 of the mink industry is gone, or going to be gone here directly. 2/3. Historically, mink prices go, while fur mink prices get high, wild fur prices get high. If there's fewer of them, that means they're going to be worth more money to less people. So what does that leave us, the trapper? Well, if I was a betting man, and I'm not really a betting man because this is kind of like getting insider information as far as I'm concerned, but if I was a betting man, I would probably look around and go, wow, it's almost March, coyotes are rubbed, fox are rubbed, coons are way out of whack. Some states, you have spring beaver and muskrat trapping. The otter is going to be singeing by now. Some states that stay warm, you probably got another 15, 20 days and you're going to run 50% singe. But knowing this, I can tell you, I'm probably going to be slamming some 330s on beaver dams and in some ditches. I don't really have muskrats here. I live on this great big lake. I haven't seen one. I haven't seen sight of one. I haven't seen one poop on a floating log or nothing. Don't know why. But I can drive 15 minutes from here, and there's a section going down through this valley that's got beaver for 30 miles. Now, me personally, this is the way I'm looking at it, and you can look at it any other way. I can still get decent beaver here for another month. I don't have the high quality beaver like say Michigan or Wisconsin springtime. Don't have it. But if prices jump and I don't have the beaver when they're there to make the hay, I'm just going to be losing out. So what I'm going to do, and which I'm telling you should do, is two different things. And I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to be honest. Right now, the supply of beaver is really low because the fur is not that much. Castor is crazy. I'm hearing prices from $60 to $80, some $85, $90. I've heard over $100. Where you actually get that real money at, I have no idea. I don't know if a lot of this talk is because, someone's getting the best caster the best quality, and they're in the, there's like 1% of all the cast that they're getting. I don't know. But from a lure maker's point of view, I can't go out and buy a caster at $80 a pound. And I'm not going to go out and catch beaver and sell the caster because I need it in my lure business. So for me, I'm going to be saving a bunch of money by catching beaver. You, if you're not a lure maker, can make a lot of money by selling caster. I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong by, say, $5 or $10, I think Grinwald's up at Funky Trap Supplies, they just run a route up there, and I think it was $75 or $80 they were paying for caster. What is a beaver worth if fur prices on those beaver get up to $20, $25? Because there's no ranch mink. And you've got $85 caster you can sell this year. You can freeze the beaver. Put them up at your convenience over the summer. Have them ready to go. I've got shows we've done on just putting up fur in storage. I know a gentleman that has got 8 years of fur put up. I think he's about to be wealthy. I really do. I think he's going to be shocked. But if you don't have it, guys, you can't sell it. No one's going to give you any money for animals you wish you would have caught. So I'm going to be ripping the hides off these beaver and throwing them in the freezer, put them up at my convenience. I'm going to be putting a caster in my lures, and I'm going to be deboning every beaver I catch because I can use that meat in one of my baits. If you're catching a lot of beaver, you can go get a grinder at Cabela's for $300-$400, a good one. If you're really catching a bunch of beaver, you'll make that money back on that grinder in a week. You'll have it forever. And it's not hard to move beaver meat. $35, $40 for a 5 gallon bucket of it, that's not that many beaver. So you take the meat, you sell the caster, and you keep the fur. So you're making the high end at the end of this year when caster's so high because the supply's screwed up. You sell the meat because you're probably going to be throwing it away unless you're eating it or feeding dogs with it or something like that. And if you can understand or believe what I'm telling you about the ranch mink, do your own research. There's probably going to be a spike in fur sales coming up in the not near future. A not distant future. Is it all going to happen just next year? I don't know. 2 years, I think we're going to see a huge difference. It may be a good year to, you know, talk to all these guys that are all humbug about trapping and they want to give their equipment away because they don't think the fur market's coming back. This may be a good summer to kind of pick some of that up. I'm just saying. It may be a good investment if we get another stimulus package to buy some freaking equipment. Use your money that they're giving back to you and go buy some equipment and make more money with it. That's the American way. That's the opportunity that we have as trappers that we ain't had in a long time. Could I be wrong? Yes. I don't think I am. So you're going to have to come up as a trapper. Are you going to figure out a way to take advantage of this or not? Whatever you do is totally up to you. if I had a bunch of fur right now sitting in a freezer, or like my friend that's just coming back from Mississippi, would I be selling that fur this year? Let me put this in a way that I think everybody can understand my thoughts. There's no chance in hell I'm selling that fur this year. None. Because the worst is going to be like this next year. Or you've got more value in what you're going to be selling. Everybody's going to have to come up with their own decision on what to do. Everybody needs to figure out an optimal plan for their self. And if you think that this makes no difference to the wild fur market, just ignore everything I've said. Businessmen make money because they look at the future on what's going with supply and demand. That's what I'm asking you as a trapper to do. Are you going to do it? I will talk to y'all next week, brothers. Be smart. That's all I'm saying is be smart.